Amen. I asked Donna to sing that this morning for us. I heard that on the radio last week in my travels, and I remembered her singing that many years ago. She sang it a number of times here at Lighthouse Baptist over the years, but it had been quite a while since I had heard that song, and so I asked her to sing it. It was probably one of the first songs that I ever heard her sing over 40 years ago, 41 years ago. But anyway, it's always blessed my heart, and she did just as well today as she did the very first time I heard her sing that. So, and I know it blessed your heart as well. Let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. I'd like to read one verse, though I'll make reference to all of the verses there in 2 Timothy chapter 4 this morning. But this is the theme or the thought of what the Lord has laid on my heart this morning. I'd like to bring a message entitled this morning, Doing Before Dying. Doing Before Dying. Those of us that have a Bible knowledge of the Apostle Paul and his life and ministry, we know that this was the last book here that he was writing prior to his death. As we find here, he's writing to many of his friends, but specifically to a young preacher boy at the time named Timothy, trying to encourage him and challenge him in the remainder of the days and moments that Paul had on this side of eternity. But here we find that Paul was encouraged and encouraging others to do certain things that they needed to do before they died. And so that's why I've entitled the message, Doing Before Dying. So stand with me as we honor the reading of God's Word, and I'd like to read verse number 21. The Bible says, Do thy diligence to come before winter. Think about that. Do thy diligence to come before winter. Paul knew that his days were numbered on this earth. He knew he had but just a short time before God would call him home. And so anyway, this was something that he did not need to delay. He did not need to put off, but he needed to do for the glory of God. Let's ask the Lord's blessing upon the message. Heavenly Father, as we bow in your presence today, we thank you and praise you for your goodness, mercy, and grace. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being able to gather in your house today in your name. Lord, it's an honor and a privilege. Lord, we thank you so much for your precious, preserved Word of God. And I pray today that it will be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our paths. I pray today that the words that we hear, that they'll be words that we will set, fix within our heart. And Lord, that will help us and prevent us from sinning against you. Lord, I pray that every need would be met and every life would be encouraged today by your word. And Lord, if there's one here today that does not know Christ as their personal Savior, we pray today would be the day of salvation for them. We pray now and ask all these things in the precious name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Doing before dying. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever given much thought to what you would like to do before you die? I realized this morning that dying is not a subject that a lot of people like to think about. They try to avoid that, but that is a subject that we cannot avoid. As I mentioned this morning, prayer for a number of people. Here in the last couple of weeks, or in the last several weeks, or in the last several months, I have lost an aunt to death. She died with complications from the coronavirus. Then last week I had three classmates that I attended high school with that they passed away and were buried. And then, as we mentioned this morning, Mr. H.M. Hutchison, and then Sarah Jane Bailey. Death is a subject that we cannot avoid. We cannot brush aside, because death is something that we face and are challenged with every day of our lives. We're faced with it. We're faced with the challenges that death set before us. And as the Bible reminds us that, as one writer put it this way, that life is short and death is sure. And it is. Sin's the cause and Christ is the cure. The Apostle Paul reminds us in the book of Romans chapter 6 and verse 23 that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The prophet Ezekiel said, "The soul that sinneth, it must die." And Solomon wrote in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse number 8 that no man hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death. One day the death angel will come knocking at every one of our door. And all that will matter at that time, whether or not the blood of Christ has been applied to the post and the lintels of our heart's door, that's all that will matter. And I hope that when He comes knocking, you will be prepared for that day and hour. But I begin to think about things that we should do before we die. That's why I entitled the message, Doing Before Dying, because that's what the Apostle Paul was doing. He was taking care of all the loose ends. He was wrapping up everything in his life, trying to close out his life completely and totally for the glory of God. And I hope that's what you want to do as well. Now, when it comes to dying, over the years, I've heard a lot of people say different things and various things that they would like to do before they die. I've heard people say that I'd like to go skydiving before I die. Not me, though. You're not gonna catch me jumping out of a perfectly good airplane. But there are people that do that. There are people that want to skydive before they die. I've heard other people say that they want to go on a cruise, or they want to go to some foreign or exotic land. I've heard others say that they wanted to go to the Empire State Building in New York City. By the way, I haven't lost anything in New York City. I've heard others say that they'd like to climb Mount Everest, that they'd like to see the pyramids in Egypt. I've heard others say that they'd like to visit the Holy Land, and that would be a good trip, no doubt. Others have said before they died, they'd like to run a marathon. They'd like to learn to play an instrument. They'd like to visit the Grand Canyon. They'd like to ride in a hot air balloon, or run with the bulls in Spain, or possibly even speak a foreign language. I've heard others say that they'd like to fly over the Bermuda Triangle, or to write a book one day. I've heard others, and even myself, I'd like to be able to retire one day. I'd like to be able to retire one day, even though I've heard that those that retire, of course, they find more work to do than what they had done before. But I sure would like to enjoy that one day before I die. I've heard others say, and by the way, I do not condone gambling in any form or fashion, but I've heard some people say I'd like to win the lottery before I die. And then I've heard some people say I would like to get married, or I'd like to find a husband, or I'd like to find a wife before I die. There's all different things and all different ideas that people have of things that they would like to do before they die. When it comes to various lists, there is a list that has been out for a number of years on the 100 best dishes to eat before you die. I don't know exactly how many of those I have eaten, but I do know of a few of them. I don't know if you all like shrimp and grits, but the classic restaurant on Noble Street in Anniston has one of those 100 dishes that you're supposedly to eat before you die, and I've eaten that dish, and it's very good. There's another dish, and that is the brisket, the smoked brisket in Pearland, Texas, at Killen's Barbecue. I've had the privilege of eating that as well. That's one of those 100 dishes to eat before you die. I've had loaded hot dogs at a little restaurant called the Dewdrop Inn in Mobile, Alabama, and that is another. So I know of at least three of those 100 dishes that you're supposedly to eat before you die. If I don't die till I eat all of them, then I may have a long life ahead of me. But there again, we don't know when that day may come. As the Bible reminds us in the book of Proverbs 27, verse 1, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. The Bible says, for what is our life, even as a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Let me give you this morning just a few things from a biblical perspective or a biblical standpoint that everyone should do before they die. I'm reminded of a preacher back years ago that made this comment that there were three things that every person needed to do before they die. You've heard me use this many times before, but the first one was to be saved. And that is a gospel truth. The second thing is to lead somebody to the Lord. In other words, to be a soul winner and have the privilege of being able to point somebody in the direction of Christ. You've heard me say this before, that outside of my own personal salvation and my personal testimony of salvation, the greatest joy that has ever been brought to my life is when I've been able to kneel with someone and I had the privilege of leading both of my children to Christ, and I've had the privilege over the years of leading a number of people to Christ and the joy that that brought to my heart. If you've never led someone to Christ, you're missing out on the second greatest joy of a Christian's life. Then the third was that this old preacher said was that we needed to do before we die, that we needed to have an old-fashioned shouting spell. And that'd do us all some good, would it not? I mean, just to rejoice in the Lord, to shout and to praise God, to lift up holy hands without wrath and without doubting, and just rejoice in the goodness of Almighty God. But this morning, as we consider these particular thoughts this morning on doing before dying, what does every individual need to do before dying? Paul lays out a formula here in the book of 2 Timothy on what every individual should do before they die. And the first one is this: you need to make preparation for eternity. Now, I realize today there are a lot of people, and maybe you are one of those people, or a number of you in here have made that preparation of prearranging your funeral. I'm not preaching against prearranging your funeral. I think in some regards it's a good thing. I think in some regards it is helpful to your family to do this, helpful to your children to go ahead and to make certain preparation. I know Donna and I, we've been doing some of this ourselves. But you know, again, as a child of God, I hope that I bypass that knock from the death angel one day. And I hope that we just all hear the shout of the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and we'll be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. The rapture, that's what I'm looking for, and that's what I pray for, and that's what I long for. But if the rapture does not occur in our time, in our lifetime, then we must make preparation for eternity. That means that we must be saved. That's why Paul said in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4, in verse number 6, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." Paul was saying, "I'm ready. I'm ready. I've made that preparation." And as we look back in biblical history, we can look back in the book of Acts chapter 9, and there was one day when Saul of Tarsus was a wicked, ungodly, religious, yes, but lost he was. He was on his way to a devil's hell and didn't even know it. But as he was on his way to Damascus to hail many men and women into prison, as he had done in the past, the Lord struck him blind that day. And thank the Lord, he saw the light of Jesus and was gloriously saved. He was ready. He made preparation on that Damascus road. Let me ask you this morning, has there ever been a time in your life? It doesn't matter if you were on the road, if you were in a car, if you were in a church service, if you were at your home or wherever it might be. Do you know this morning that there was a time in your life that you saw yourself lost and undone and on your way to a devil's hell, and you trusted Christ as your personal Savior and know today 100% sure that heaven will be your home when you close your eyes in death? That's the most important decision you'll ever make in life, is making that preparation for eternity. Just as the prophet Amos told the Israelites in the book of Amos chapter 4 when he told them to prepare to meet God. Because one day we will meet God. Every individual will stand before Him one day. The second thing that every person needs to do before dying is not only to make preparation for eternity, but to be faithful to their calling. To be faithful to their calling. In 1 Timothy chapter number 4, verses 1 through 5, Paul charges Timothy here by saying, therefore, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and dead at His appearing in His kingdom. Paul said, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when men will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itchy ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Paul was charging Timothy here to be faithful to the calling that God had called him to do. And in this regard, it was to preach the gospel. And as I've said many times before, you may say, preacher, God has not called me to preach. But yet God has called every saved individual to be a witness. To be a witness. In John's Gospel chapter 20 and verse number 21, Jesus said to the disciples there, as the Father has sent me, even so send I you. Where, though He may not send us to China, He may not send us to Russia. He may not send us to the Philippines. He may not send us to one of the bordering states of Alabama. But every one of us are to be witnesses, beginning where? In our Jerusalem. That means at home. That means at home. So we find here that every individual, before they die, they need to be faithful to their calling. There's a third thing that every individual needs to do before they die, as we find written here in our text, and that's to keep fighting the good fight of faith. I realize that we're living in perilous times, as the Bible describes. I realize that we've got a great fight before us. And by the way, I'm not promoting an insurrection. So don't try to impeach me as you pastor this morning. But I am saying that as a child of God, we've got to continue to fight the good fight of faith. Soldiers of Christ, arise, as one of the great old hymns saith. And that's what we ought to do. As the Bible challenges us, that we're to put on the whole armor of God, that we may be able to stand in the evil day. And by the way, we are living in evil days. We're living in a day when we need to take a stand, when we need to rise up and lift up our voice like a trumpet, as the Bible tells us, that we need to take a stand for God and for what's right and what's decent and what's righteous, and what we ought to take a stand for the family and for the church and for one another and the Word of God. We should fight the good fight of faith. That's why Paul said, I've fought a good fight. I hope that we come to that place in our life one day when we can say that. There's a fourth thing that every person should do before they die, and that is to finish the work God has entrusted you to do. The work to finish. You remember the words of the Lord Jesus Himself when He said there in the book of John's Gospel, He said that He came to finish the work that God had given Him to do. Paul said, I've finished the course and I've kept the faith. I've finished. I hope when it comes my time to die that I will be able to say, just like the Apostle Paul, that I have accomplished. I've finished and I have completed everything that God has wanted me to do. There's a fifth thing this morning that every person should do before they die, And that and they need to remember that there's a day of accountability. There's a day when every one of us will stand before our Maker God. As Paul describes there in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 8, when he says, "There henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." The Lord was here and was using the Apostle Paul to remind us there that every one of us will stand before God one day. And as he describes in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 10, that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that we may give an account of the things that we've done in this body according to what we have done, whether it be good or bad. We're going to all stand there one day. And at that time, we'll either receive a crown, or as the Bible describes in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, we'll suffer loss. I don't mean that we'll lose our salvation, but there will be many people at that judgment that lose their reward. Why? Because rather than build upon the foundation of gold, silver, and precious stone, they're going to be building upon wood, hay, and stubble, which will one day burn up at that judgment. God reminds us before we die that there is a day of accountability, a day of payday, a day when we reap what we have sown, as the Bible describes. There's a sixth thing that every person needs to do before they die, and that's recognize the loyalty of your faithful friends. That's exactly what the Apostle Paul was doing here in a number of verses. Notice in verse number 11, he says, "Only Luke is with me." I'm going to tell you, the Lord's been working on my heart about a message about the loyalty of Luke. There's a lot that could be said about loyalty. I'm going to tell you, we need some loyal Christians. Sad to say, that's something that Washington does not have. They do not have a bunch of loyal people. I believe the president, though he knew it, our former president, that is, President Trump, I believe he realized that there were very few that were loyal to him. There are very few people that are loyal to the cause. There are very few people today that are loyal to the church. There are very few people today that are loyal to Christ. But Luke was loyal. He was a loyal friend, and Paul, in his dying moment before he died, he wanted to recognize the accomplishments of Luke and how important Luke was to his life and to his ministry and how faithful that he had been. "Only Luke is with me." Then he said, "Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry." And we know that there was a great contention in the book of Acts, chapter 15, when John Mark there, for whatever reason it was, he left the ministry, came back home, and when Paul got ready to set sail on his second missionary journey, we find there that Barnabas wanted to bring Mark with him, and Paul would have nothing to do with it. And so what happened? Barnabas took Mark, John Mark with him, and Paul took Silas, and they went their separate ways. There was a great contention, but over a period of time, and the way it's been said many times before, that time heals all wounds, and it does. And so this was one of those wounds that time had healed, and Paul had realized just how valuable John Mark was, and he was recognizing him. Then he talks about the man Tychus. He said, "I have sent to Ephesus." There's another faithful servant. And then we read on of verse 19 when he speaks about Prisca and Aquila, or Priscilla and Aquila, and Onesiphorus and Erastus and Mildom and Ebulus that he mentions there, and Prudence and Linus and Claudia and all the brethren. And he recognizes their faithfulness. That's something that you and I, every one of us, should do before we die. Is that we should take the time to recognize the loyalty of faithful friends and tell them just how important they have been to our lives. Don't make it a thing that, oh, I wished I had done that. I wished I would have told them this. How many times do we live in regret when somebody dies and you say, I wished I could tell them now that I loved them. I wished I could tell them now how dear and near they have been to my life and what the influence they've been to my life. There's a eighth thing that every believer needs to do, and that is let bygones be bygones. Let bygones be bygones. As we read here in verse number 12, once again, or in verse number 11, Paul was doing just that when he told Luke to bring Mark with him. Paul was saying, what's been done in the past, I've forgotten it. He was letting those bygones be. Don't dwell on the past. Don't dwell on the past failures. Don't dwell on the past hurts. Don't die a bitter and a lonely person the way many people do. Let bygones be bygones. I remember the words of Brother Cliff Hall before he passed away. Shortly before his death, Brother Cliff made this comment. In fact, he told me, he said, Brother Gerald, he said, I've done people wrong over the years. And he said, pray. This was in the early stages of his pancreatic cancer. He said, Brother Gerald, pray that I live long enough to make some of the wrongs that I've done right. And God allowed him to live a year. And God allowed, even on Brother Cliff's deathbed, he said, Brother Gerald, God allowed me the privilege of being able to make a lot of the wrongs that I'd done in my life right before, and now it's time for me to go. Don't wait. Because the sad thing is, we don't know when that death angel's coming. We don't know when death is going to come knocking at our door. That's why Paul said in our text there, to come before winter. Paul was saying, don't procrastinate. Don't put these things off. These are things that are urgent because we don't know the day nor the hour in which we're going to die. We find there's the next thing that every person should do before they die, and that's to cherish the Word of God. Verse number 13, Paul, though he realized it throughout his whole life in ministry of how precious and near and dear God's Word, but especially in those closing moments of his life, of how dear the one thing that he wanted more than he wanted anything else. Now remember, Paul was a prisoner. He was a prisoner in Rome. And he was awaiting the chopping block, his head to be severed from his body, and death to come to his person. Verse 13, he says, the cloak that I left at Troas and Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, but the books, but especially the parchments. Especially the Bible. Especially the Word of God. Bring these things. I need them. Don't delay. Come before winter. But the one thing that I need more than anything, Paul was saying, I need the Bible. One of these days when death comes, and it may not be sudden for you. It may not be sudden for me. I hope it is. I hope one day if death comes to me apart from the rapture, I hope that one day I can just, or one night I can go to sleep and wake up the next morning with Jesus. Wouldn't that be marvelous? Wouldn't that be marvelous to be able to go that way? But we don't all get to go that way. We may have to go through great suffering and pain and trial and tribulation before we come. But what I do know is that God's Word will bring comfort to that suffering saint of God, as it did to the life of the Apostle Paul. We find the next thing that we should do before we die is leave your enemies in the hands of God. Every believer in Christ Jesus, if you live godly in Christ Jesus, the Bible said you're going to suffer persecution. If you live godly in Christ Jesus and do what the Bible tells you to do, you're going to have enemies. You're going to have people that despise you. You're going to have people that curse you. You're going to have people that that do all manner of evil against you and do things falsely against you. And of course, human nature is what? Human nature is to hold a grudge. Human nature is to get even and to inflict revenge upon those that have hurt you and those that have wronged you. But Paul says that you have to leave your enemies in the hands of God. That's what you need to do before you die. Don't die a bitter person. Don't die an angry person, angry at the world around you, angry at everything that's going on around you. But leave your enemies in the hands of Almighty God. Listen to verse 14. He said, Alexander the coppersmith did me what? Much evil. But notice what he said. The Lord reward him according to his works. Goes back to the fact that there's a payday someday, isn't there? There's a payday. And that's what we've got to do. The Lord reminds us that vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. And when He does it, it will be perfect and complete. There is going to be a payday for all the wicked one day. Last but not least, we need to, before we die, we need to reflect upon the faithfulness of God. That's something that we need to do every day of our lives, is reflect upon just how good God is. Listen to verse 16 and 17. He says, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Paul was saying, pretty much, I'm dying alone. I'm dying alone. You may die a lonely death. I think about many, and I've heard the story of many people that have passed through this coronavirus. And it's like Miss Wanda Ramsey, when I was talking to her last week, when I was checking on Brother Mike, she said, you know what the hardest thing was? Is when he was so sick of dropping him off at the emergency room and never being able to see him again till they drive him home to his own home out there. She said, all that time I was never able to see him. And I think about those that have died in the hospital. What have they died? Ultimately, they've died alone, without a family member, without their children, their grandchildren, their loved ones, a mom and a dad there that are gathered around that bedside. That's what Paul was saying. No man stood with me. Verse 17, he says, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. I'm thankful that in that dying hour, we need to reflect upon how good God is. I think about it now that there are over 2 million people that have died of the coronavirus in a little over a year now. Over 400,000 deaths in the United States alone. Not including the deaths of other means and manners. Such a tragedy. But they're things that everyone should do before they die. I've used this comment or this statement many times before, but one's life will soon be passed, and only what is done for Christ will last. I was reading an illustration a few weeks ago, and it said this: many years ago, a man died while climbing Mount Everest. On his tombstone, his family put this inscription. I thought it was very appropriate. He died climbing. You know, that ought to be our testimony. When it comes to the close of our life, as they died climbing. Climbing. There's an old hymn that says, I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. I'm homeward bound. Lord, plant my feet on what? Higher ground. Don't wait too late. These are things that everybody should do before dying. Don't wait. Don't delay. It may be today for some of us, maybe tomorrow, maybe next year, maybe 5 years down the road. But know this, the rapture could occur as well. Paul said to Timothy, come before winter. Don't delay. I remember Brother Pollard years ago when I pastored at Mount Olive Baptist Church, he preached a message from this text, and the title of it was Come Before Winter. And Brother Pollard preached about the danger of procrastination. The danger of procrastination, and he used an illustration that I've never forgotten. Just a simple illustration, but he said that there was a little boy, single parent home. He talked about this little boy and how much he wanted to come to church. He wanted something spiritual in his life, and he used to stand out on the street corner every Sunday when the little children in the neighborhood, they'd walk down to church. And he'd run in and he'd say, Mother, Mother, he said, can I go to Sunday school? Can I go to church with the children? She kept telling him, she said, One of these days, I'm going to carry you to church. I'm going to carry you to church. Said the next week they came by and all these little children, they had on their nice little suits and ties and their nice little frilly dresses and all of that. And said, you know, the little boy ran back in. And he said, Mother, he said, there go the children again. They're on their way to church. Mom, can I go to church this Sunday? And Mom, you ought to see their beautiful clothes. Mom, can you buy me a little suit like they've got? Can you buy me a little suit of clothes like they have? And she said, yes. She said, I will. She said, I'll buy you a suit of clothes one of these days. And she said, I'll carry you to church one of these days, but not today. The next Sunday came around and little children had got new Bibles. And oh, he went running back in and he was talking, oh, Mother, can't today be the day? Can't we go to church today? Can't you buy me that suit of clothes? Can I have one of those little Bibles like they have? And the mother said, one of these days, I'm going to buy you a new little Bible just like they've got. And I'm going to buy you a new little suit of clothes just like they've got. And yes, I will carry you to church, but not today. And suddenly, and without warning, the little boy died. The little boy died. And you know what the mother did? The mother bought him that little suit of clothes. Carried him to church where they had the funeral. And clasped in his hand was that little Bible that she had promised him. Everything that the little boy wanted, but too late. Too late. There are things that God wants us to do before we die. Not what we want to do, but what God wants us to do and what we should do. And that's what we need to consider this morning, is doing what we need to do before we die without delay. Let's stand this morning with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Brother Sean's going to come and We'll have an hymn of invitation. God has spoken to your heart this morning. Feel a need to come to the altar, you're welcome to do so. If you're in the fellowship hall, you can come in here, make an altar there wherever you're at. If you're in the car listening, or if you're at home listening by internet this morning, you can kneel right where you're at. And if you're here today and do not know Christ as your personal Savior, if you realize your need of salvation today, you can pray right where you're at. And you can ask the Lord to forgive you of your sin, to cleanse you, to come into your heart, and to save you. And the Lord guarantees that He'll save you right where you're at.